Welcome.
Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And that's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire. New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Gamma's Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWineMaker.com.
Dankul Tadiz.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you, buddy.
There he is.
They're happy
one and
because
only.
Mike is back. That's why.
Oh, I am? Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mike is back, so the bus people are thrilled out there.
That's
all
awesome.
Right.
Oh, cool. Welcome to the show. It is November...
whatever it is.
Sixth. Yeah, it's like sixth. There you go. 2014, 2014, however you say it, and it's another edition. So here we go. I guess I'm starting my notes again, as I usually do when I'm actually have internet service, and I got that straightened out. So
did you? Good. Good.
Yeah. Not as good as what I had, but it's working. So,
are you back on your radio show?
I should be. I'm going to try it tomorrow. I'm gonna try and get on tomorrow and maybe do Saturday as well. So, yeah,
fantastic.
Tomorrow evening. Yeah, cool. So I'm going to try it.
Radio DJMike.com. All right,
wow.
People out there, check it out. RadioDJMike.com. Get you links to what you're doing and all that. Good show. Lots of fun. A lot of and he'll take requests and he'll chat with you and he'll just, you know, give you a good couple of fun hours there. So check it out. RadioDJMike.com. I announced it last week when you weren't with us. We had a good show last week. We had a ghost show last week, and it was fun. A winery in Virginia, and it really was a lot of fun. We had Jeannie from LaGrange, the winery at LaGrange, Virginia, and it was good. She told about some hauntings there and how she was afraid to stay. I was going to get her on the program and call her at the winery, and she emailed me and said, "No, Ron, call me on my not at the winery. Call me on my cell phone. I'm not going to be at the winery. And I asked her, and she said, well, she was going to sit outside and talk on the phone and all that. And then she realized that she was going to be the only one there, and she didn't particularly want to be the only one there. So, so
really?
Yeah.
She didn't want to be inside at, interesting.
Yeah. So she decided that, it'd be best if I called her on her cell instead of at the winery. So that's
two shows. Now that I have access to the internet, I'm back on the internet. There's two shows because I think I missed Joy as well.
Yes, you did.
No,
yes,
I was. Or was I on here with Joy? Was I on here or no? I don't think I was on here when Joy was on her.
We talked to Joy twice, 2 weeks in a row. You were on the second, not the first.
I was on the second one. Okay, good.
Yeah,
so I need to get on the first one still. Okay,
so
and then I missed last week's. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Definitely.
So it was fun. It was again. Got off the subject a little bit, but it was the day before Halloween, and it was a good show. So if any of you out there haven't heard it yet, check it out. It was last week's episode, the October 30th episode. So, it was fun.
Cool.
Got a few things to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
Stuff that I have stacked up here and things I just wanted to go over and tell about and talk about a little bit here. And if we cover an hour, great. And if we don't, then, that's okay, too. I'm emailing Utah. I found 8 wineries in Utah. If there's any more, if any of you know of any more, let me know. But I found 8, and I'm working with Utah now. And we should start doing Utah. I hate to really start because we're going to have Utah for a couple of weeks. And Thanksgiving, we won't be doing an episode at the end of the month, I would venture to guess. We're looking at Utah, and then Virginia. One thing I found out talking to Virginia last week, what was her name? Jeannie. Jeannie said that Virginia has something like 250 wineries. So, like, wow.
Didn't think they had that many.
Yeah, I didn't either. So if we do one a week, we can be there for 4 years. I mean, 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, jeez. But we won't. but just different things to pass on to you now, just different bits of information, things that I've accumulated here, and I'm going to get out to you before it's too late. Number one here, this is something I just read. And Mike, this is a good question for you now here. I saw this, and this has nothing to do with wine. This is one of those situations here where sometimes we get off the subject. But this came out of Florida Grower magazine. And since we're growers, we get Florida Grower magazine. But the question was put out there, would you eat vegetable-flavored ice cream?
No.
I know. That's basically what I thought, too. No, I don't think so. And again, it depends. I asked my engineer here. I said, what would you? And she said, well, it depends on what vegetable. I go, no, it doesn't. it's vegetables, So, but
no,
but they did this survey, Florida growers and all that, and a surprising 73% said yes they would, and only 27% said no they would not.
Wow,
I know. Wow. So. Take it for what it's worth out there. I don't know. I mean, vegetable ice cream, vegetable flavored ice cream. I can't think of any vegetable that you can flavor an ice cream as. And what was that?
Mm.
Candied sweet potatoes. My engineer just told me. How about candied sweet potatoes?
Okay, I might see that one. Yeah.
Maybe. But I don't know. But that's about maybe the only one that you might look at. But I don't know. All these potato chip flavors they have out now they're vegetable flavored ice cream. Oh, I don't know.
I've seen some of the strange name your flavor type of contest going out there, and how some of those that won that doesn't fly either. So I don't even try that one. But
I know.
That was the latest incarnation. It just does not sound appealing at all. So, but
not at all.
Somebody has to. So,
whatever floats your boat. That's as far as chip flavors go, whatever floats your boat. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they have what was it? South Carolina sweet barbecue potato chips. You know, barbecue potato chips are just barbecue potato chips. You don't need to play with them. Okay, we won't get into that. But all sorts of flavors out there now on that stuff. But vegetable flavored ice cream, I don't know. Prussia launches Café de Paris sparkling wines. Pernod Ricard USA is bringing in a line of premium French sparkling wines to the States, tapping into the healthy mid-single-digit growth in the imported sparkling wine category. And I also read something, and this I won't cover it tonight, but I just remembered saying this about the French sparkling wines or French champagne. Italy threw down the gauntlet. They said, we are as good, our Prosecco is as good as the French champagne, and we can prove it, buy it, and all that. So Italy is going up head-to-head with the French champagne region, saying, we are just as good as they are. So that should be an interesting battle coming up on that. The company says the Café de Paris is the number one French sparkling wine made in Saint-André-de-Cubzac in the region of Bordeaux. The brand was established in 1967, they say, and has built an expertise in making sparkling wines. Established in 67, what is that? 50 years? 45 years? That's... You know, I mean, you got your classic champagne houses that have been in for centuries, and they, you know. But in making sparkling wines and is now exported to many countries around the world with 10% alcohol by volume content and a slightly sweet taste, it taps into the emerging category of fruit-flavored sparkling wine. Prussia is targeting the millennial female consumer looking for a more premium option in this category. It's available in pear and pomegranate flavors. So, yeah, that's, you know, look for it on the shelf if you're into that stuff. We were just talking about flavors there. That's in pear and pomegranate sparkling wines. Prussia, P-R-U-S-A, Prussia sparkling wine. So, that'll be out soon. Skinny Grape expands to 330 milliliter PET bottles. That's the plastic bottles. Skinny Grape, you might have seen those out there. There's a lot of, they seem to hit the market, and all of a sudden you see Skinny Grape wines all over. It's I've talked about them before in the past about how they're targeting the female wine consumer, and it's less calories per bottle and stuff like that. Most wines will run you per glass average between 130 and 160 calories, depending on what you're having, stuff like that. The Skinny Grape says that they are 10 to 20% less. So you're looking at, you know, anywhere from 110 to 125 calories per bottle. So it's a big difference. But Skinny Grape now came out with introduced a new Skinny Grape Spritzers. This is a low-calorie spritzer and a sleek-looking 330 milliliter barrier PET bottle. The PET is the plastic but 330 milliliters. When I read this, I thought 330. That's just a 187 is your standard size for the small things, but 330 is just a little bit different size there. The ready-to-drink premium container supplied by Amcor delivers convenience and portability due to its lightweight and shatter-resistant characteristics, enabling the Spritzer brand to be enjoyed everywhere, including backyard barbecues, picnics by swimming pools, on beaches, and other outdoor licensed venues. Beaches here in Florida, most of them say you're not supposed to have alcoholic beverages, so maybe they might change it if you're getting it in plastic there. Skinny Grape, previously only available as a low-calorie wine in a 750 glass bottle, is a naturally flavored wine-based cocktail that has only 90 calories per bottle. Said consumer response has been strong, which uses stevia as the sugar substitute. It is an attractive bottle, and it's eye-catching on the shelves, and it stands out from others in the category. says the people at that hold out. But of course, they'll say that the slender bottle is extremely comfortable to hold. Customers are mostly women, and the bottle fits comfortably in their hand. So they think the packaging is really promoting the brand quite well, and the fact that it is low calories is helping a lot too. Another key factor is unique barrier coating technology developed by Germany's KHS Plasmic GmbH, whatever that stands for, I don't know, which provides extended shelf life. The 330 PET bottle features KHS Plasmax silicone oxide barrier coating, which seals the container from the inside to protect the contents from oxidation and helps retain carbonation. Oh, that's interesting. A lot of PET bottles out there for a lot of stuff now. It's Plasmic is an FDA and Canada compliant passive barrier technology providing extended shelf life. So it is approved everywhere. The ultra thin material, which actually says less than 100 millimeters, is transparent and resistant to cracking, abrasions, and delamination. I'm having a hard time reading this. Moreover, it doesn't degrade over time and have an activation time constraint or limit the storage time for the empty bottles. The barrier coating is easy to remove during recycling processing and without any contamination to the recycling stream. It's 100% recyclable with the number one code. The plastic bottles are also result in significantly reduced transportation costs and are supply chain effective, are efficient. Skinny Grape spritzers are available in 4-packs and Liquor Control Board of Ontario and NSLC Nova Scotia stores and the Wine Shop 100 stores in Ontario. So this is all throughout Canada now, and what I read in another article about this, which I didn't quote you on this, which was basically the same. It will be available in the United States very, very soon, if not by now. So
the GmbH is a German, it's a designation, basically. I'm not going to say what it's pronounced, you know, how to pronounce it because it's in German. But it basically designates a company as private. It's very common in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and there's one other area. It's basically a company with limited liability.
Oh, our designations we use. Yeah, LLCs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, thank you. I never see that many German companies listed, so I never saw it. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Thank you. My fact-finding mission will go back again.
You go back to the next tweet. Okay. That's why we have you. We've missed you. That's why it's good to have you back. single-serve PET stemware for wines. We just talked about the PET bottles. They're coming out with single-serve PET stemware. Induction sealing and the addition of an oxygen scavenger helps ensure success of this innovative container approach. This is from Zips Inc. in New Brunswick, New Jersey. They've successfully launched its PET pack single serve wines into a new range of retail and food service markets. The widely publicized wine packaging concept, designed in collaboration with SNS Design, is unique and elegantly stylish, they say. But it took some ingenuity, determination, and teamwork to make the packaging happen with consistent efficiency, sealing efficiency, and shelf life protection. They look like little wine glasses is what they look like. I mean, they really do. They have a little stem on it, the little plastic lid on it, and all that stuff. Let me read you more of this here. From this, it helped that Zips had a powerful partner as it developed this. They partnered up with Fetzer Vineyards. We all know Fetzer. We've seen those on the shelf many times. That's where a custom design proprietary package line fills, seals, labels, and taste packs the single serve wine. A Zips license, licensee, Fester sells its Fester Crimson and Fester Quartz brands in the PET glass. The wine glasses are injection molded, and sidewall thickness may vary slightly, but is up to 0.110 inch. Each container weighs about 83 grams, which is light, very light. Original design incorporated a hot iron conduction seal of foil-based membrane to the rim of the container. The problem was conduction sealing was that there was too many leaks. The head space in each container is back flush with nitrogen gas to drive out ambient air that could have a negative effect on wine quality and shelf life. So they're using nitrogen glass. I do too. A lot of places use nitrogen glass on their gas on their wines. It's just a very common, easy way to get rid of the air setting on top of your wine at night and stuff like that. So that's just what's going on with this. I've told you my computer is down. Are you still hearing me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, the screen just messed up here. I don't know what's going on with this. I have to get my engineer over here and have her play with it for a minute. Hey, engineer, bring my screen back, would you please, while I'm going through this. But this, to go on with this, this is the founder and CEO of Zips. Knows that conduction sealing and PET were not a good mix, and so they've changed it to work better on it. Probably was also problematic was oxygen migration through the PET container body. They've addressed it by going through different types of material, polyester film, induction cap sealers and stuff, and were able to get it to work. As currently configured, the filling line at Fetcher begins with operators emptying the plastic containers from corrugated reshippers onto a conveyor that takes them to the rinser and then to a rotary filler. Filling is done. Good, thank you. That's why I keep my engineer around. She does that stuff for me. To a rotary filler, filling is done at a speed of 50 a minute and is followed by nitrogen dosing, cap application, and cap torquering, all done within the system. The 70 millimeter injection molded closures torque down with approximately 30 inch pounds of pressure, which seals the thing on there. It is a shrink tunnel supplied. Tightly closes the containers, and shrink sleeve label covers the closure and container, and it creates the seal on it so that it is permanently sealed. Fetcher says that they are absolutely thrilled with the final product. It is something that has seems to be working very well for them. Typically, retail prices are in the range of $299 to $350. Any public setting where glass containers can be a potential hazard, offering marketing opportunity for the single-serve PET wine glasses. They're currently testing its recycling. It's BPA-free, high-quality stemware with several of the world's largest wineries. And they said that hopefully they will have it spread out to more wineries before very long. But Fetcher is the first one. It is interesting. It's to open the innovative PET container, consumers tear the perforated shrink label strip, twist off the closure, and peel open the foil membrane. The closure can also be used as a coaster. So what you do is it looks like a little, everyone I'm sure has seen the plastic champagne glasses out there, that the plastic wine glasses. This is exactly what it looks like. Although the plastic bottom of it is filled up, and it's not filled up. It just sets out flat and sort of an inverted bell shape to the container that has the wine in it. But you grab a hold of the little peel away thing, peel it down, and you can peel the label off completely, pop open the lid, grab the tab, pop open the lid, and you have your glass of wine there. I'll bet plastic, but you have your glass of wine there, and the little tab that you pull off the top, you can set underneath it, used as a coaster, which I don't see why you would need a coaster for the plastic, but maybe so. An interesting idea. Fetzer has it out now. Fetzer is the one that is currently the first one out there with it, and they are the ones to check. So check it out. Go on to your local store and see what it is. If I see one, I'll pick one up. If I happen to see one, I'll take a picture of it and post it on our Facebook page. If you're not a member of our Facebook page, you're not missing a whole lot because we don't post a whole lot. But when we do, we have stuff up there that's interesting. So join us on Facebook. Like always, I like us on Facebook because they don't have a love button. There is a new company in Brazil called wine.com.br. It's a Brazilian company, and I'm not going to go through this whole article here. I'm just going to give you the highlights of it. But they are shipping wine. Wine.com.br grew its web sales 10% in 2013 up to $58.4 million from $29.1 million in 2012. Most of its employees started in the call center, and now they work, throughout the facility as all sorts of stuff. Average age of the employees in this venture is 25 years old, and everyone's required to man the phones as they, get the calls in for the orders and all that. But it's up to a $58.4 million business last year. In August, the retail expanded with a 73,000 square foot facility across the street from the houses from across the street from where it has its call center, and additional warehouse and fulfillment space. They employ about 60 warehouse workers. It is one of the hands full making wine more approachable for the Brazilians, they said. At the end of July, its wine club had 67,000 members who pay fee for a shipment of 2, 4, or 6 bottles each month. 75% of those who get one shipment buy again, he says, the owner of Flores. As we grow, we are changing the thought in Brazil that wine is only for the rich and glamorous. You don't need a fancy glass or special knowledge to enjoy wine. You just need good company. But an enormously successful business down there in Brazil, wine.com.br. And I'm sure, we can check it out too. There's, the internet is shows no boundaries. So wine.com.br, selling a tremendous amount of wines in Chile, in Brazil, with their concept. Interesting article here. I wanted to share this with you. Georgia, not Georgia in the United States and Eastern United States, but Georgia, the country over in Southern Russia areas and all that. Article here about a guy that says that the Georgian wines are starting to really take off again. In a nutshell, said that when Russia came in, and Russia had been setting in Georgia for many, many years, and because of that, the Georgian wine industry pretty much stopped. It didn't proceed. It was interesting. They said that just about everybody made wine. Their yards weren't grass yards like we're so used to here. The yards consisted of grapevines, any type, grapevines. That's what they did. They just planted the yards in grapevines. And that's and they would make wine from the grapes that they grew in the yard. A little bit of history. It's referred to as the cradle of wine since they've been continuously making wine in that part for over 8,000 years. Actually, the Georgians like to refer to it as 8,000 vintages. There was a very early winemaking in Greece and Cyprus, Turkey, Crimea, Armenia, and Moldova, but all evidence points to at least 6,000 BC, if not before, for the first propagation of wine grapes in Georgia. So, you know, I mean, it's amazing, the history. Records also show that there's 525 grape varieties, including clones, of which 440 are still in use. Huh? I mean, it just, you know, they're saying that a lot of them aren't the ones that we're so used to. It's, let's see. It says most of their taste a lot like wine. You're not likely to come across more than 20, if that many. So you're going to find basically the same ones, but there are over 440 different grapes growing there. The white, and I'm going to destroy this name, K-A-T-S-I-T-E-L-I, the white, Sitteli, and the red, and this is S-A-P-E-R-A-V-I, Saperavi, are the most prevalent, and you can see those all over the place. There's a lot of international varieties as well, the ones you're so used to, Cabs, Merlots, Chardonnays. If they can grow them in the areas, they try to do it. It's historically, the tradition was interrupted for 70 years when the Russians came in. From 1921 to 1991, the Russians occupied the country, and they banned the production of wines, which, well, they tried to. In Georgia, Georgia is synonymous with wines, and so the Russians just sort of like ignored it whenever they started to see all the wines being made there. And the tradition wasn't lost. Many of the winemakers are now working to restore it since the Russians left. What I find interesting is they have there's about 10 main wine regions, which contain 18 smaller, what they call protected denominations of origin, or PDOs, which is similar to a lot of the different things we have around the country, around the world. But the majority of wineries and growers are in the Kakheti Valley, K-A-K-H-E-T-I Valley, very close to, and here we go again, T-B-I-L-I-S-I, Tbilisi. There is different regions and western wine regions. Summers are hot and springs and fall are about the perfect time to visit. If you want to go, they're saying that, you know, going spring and fall, they're very proud of their wine business. They have lots and lots of wine bars around the country. You can go and just visit wine bars. They talked about, though, wine has been traditionally fermented and aged in, Q-V-E-V-R-I-S. If you don't pronounce Q as vivris or cavivris, whatever, actually they're large clay pots that are buried into the earth. And they're shaped something like the old Roman amphoras that remain above ground. But these are placed in the earth, and they stayed there for a long, long time. It says that people have bought houses in Georgia and dug underneath the floorboard and found some of these, I wish I knew how to pronounce it, cavivorous pots all over the place. They are going back to the standard style of making that. A lot of the wineries are doing, going back to the old method of using these. They're able to use them more than once. They're not just a one-time thing and throw them away. A lot of the places also are starting to use cement or concrete eggs, which are being used in a lot of other areas too. One of the first ones in the United States is Glenora Winery, which is in the first farm winery in the Finger Lakes area in New York. They recognized the importance of the Quivira winemaking style, and so they're using some of those types of pots to help get some of their wines out. The pots aren't discarded. When they're no longer used, a lot of times after they've had their usefulness, they're leaned up against the wall in gardens and used as decorations and stuff. But just interesting what's happening in Georgia. Georgia is just the country, again, of Georgia is exploding with wines and traditional styles, no styles. Since the Russians left in 1991, they're getting back to having the vineyards everywhere, in yards and everywhere they have a lot. They're saying that they're having vineyards and they're making wine. So if you are a world traveler, a great place. If you are over there, bring me back a wine. Send it to me. All About Wine BTR. I'd love to taste some of the Georgia wines. I've had a Georgia wine. Actually, I bought one once, and it was very, very sweet. I was somewhat disappointed in how sweet it was. It was reminding me something of a muscadine grape. Very, very sweet wine. And I surprised me how sweet it was. So, but yeah, there's a little store down on Waters Avenue in Tampa, North Tampa, that has Georgian wines there. And a lot of Russian and Georgian stuff there. Great tasting, affordable wine without pretension. That's what winemaker Ryan Harms set out to create when he founded Union Wine Company in Tualatin, Oregon, back in 2005. He calls it a pinkies down philosophy. Union Wine offers three wine series, the King's Ridge, Underwood, and Alchemist. And he said they're all meant for everyday accessible consumption. He says on the website at Union, we don't get too caught up in wine scores, the best French oak barrels, or whether our sweater vest clashes with our ascot. We simply make good wines for our friends, and we embrace the challenges and excitement of its coordinate of where we reside. So in the spirit of all this, they are coming out with a new container. It is Underwood wine in a can. Now, I think we might have talked about the possibilities of this and what happened in the past, but they are actually out with it now. At the annual Portland Food and Wine Festival, after receiving an overwhelmingly positive response, the company is now making plans to bring canned wine to the market. It says the craft beer movement took a lot from winemaking packaging, and now this is a whole new outlook on it. They're going to start putting wine in a can. They said it's a wine being in a bottle is from the stuffiness of years gone by. They said there's no reason for it. They're at the forefront of this beerification of wine. They call it beerification, a movement that aims to break down the pretense and formality associated with wine drinking. We've been trying to do that on All About Wine since 2009 ourselves, trying to get it less intimidating and more friendly. Yes, that's really what So they have two varietals, the Pinot Noir and the Pinot Gris, in a 375 recyclable aluminum can. And the can is lined inside with an epoxy resin I was saying the X too soon, epoxy resin that acts as a lining between the wine and the aluminum, preventing any effects of taste that it might pick up. He says the trace amounts of BPA in the lining are far below what the U.S. FDA has deemed safe, so there's no problems with that. The Kraft Canning Company is actually the bottlers, or the canners, I guess you should say, of this wine. They said in terms of advantages offered by packing wine in cans, they say that it is cost approximately 40% less to package compared to a 9-liter case of wine in glass bottles. Canned wines also opens up the wine drinking experience to new occasions and venues where bottled wine may be inconvenient, such as outdoor events or when portability is needed. Can you see it at a football game? You know, you got the guy, beer here, and you got the guy, wine here. It just
especially
strikes
on the,
me as odd.
Especially on the losing side.
Yeah.
Wine here.
Yeah, wine here. Okay.
Wine. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. But, so, yeah. Have you...
It's a different kind of wine.
Yeah. That's fine. It's the graphics for the packaging, consisting solely of the brand and varietal, replicate those used in the labels for the bottled Underwood varietal. So if you've ever... Underwood is out there. I've seen Underwood before. They have it out there in the Underwood wines. And it's just... if you've ever seen the label, it's just UND. And then on the second line, ERW. And then on the third line, OOD. So it looks odd. You go, huh, what is that? But if you... So it looks like UND, OOD, but Underwood. This says, they explained that the design approach wanted to convey a sense of mixture of old Playbill posters with a more modern design sense. The Pinot Noir and Pinot Gris are available for purchase on the company's website, which if you all want to go onto it and check it out, http://unionwine.com. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Union Wine Company. It was divided. The com and the punny was divided. I thought it was .com. UnionWineCompany.com. And they're currently available, sold in 8 U.S. markets. The wines are priced at $6 a can and at $24 for a 4-pack. Boy, that's expensive. $6 a can. You can get yourself...
Yeah.
Wow. That's expensive.
And it's a regular 12-ounce can?
It's a 12-ounce can. Let's see.
12-ounce.
No, actually, it's a 375-milliliter can. 375-milliliter, which is...
milliliter.
Which
half
is...
About half of a regular wine bottle.
Yeah. Well, let's see. It's 750 is regular wine bottle, so 375 is about a half a bottle, yeah. So, actually, technically... It's going to run you. It's about 12 ounces. Yeah, 12.2 ounces to be really accurate. You know, because a wine bottle is 25.4 ounces. So,
So it'll be $12 basically for an equivalent bottle then, because it would be
bottle.
Two cans worth.
Yeah. So I guess that doesn't. That's not too expensive then. No,
and would shipping be less because it's lighter?
Yeah,
I'm guessing
definitely.
The can would be okay.
Yeah, definitely can be lighter. But the I
don't know about pulling a tab to drink wine. I've never
drink wine.
I don't
know. I know.
Yeah.
They should give one of those old pet wine glasses with it.
Yeah.
But I guess, when you break it down, I never thought about it too much, but that's true. $12 for a bottle is what it about be. So $24 for a 4-pack, which is, two bottles for $24. And that's, okay. Depends on what it's like. Mm-hmm. Oregon wine. So Oregon, wine is usually pretty good. They have a picture of a can here, and for the life of me, it's just, I just can't read it. Let's see, Union Wine Company brings the spirit and character of Oregon to wine you can put in your on your table every day. We believe the contents are more important than the container, that good wine should be able to go anywhere. We love our wine. We just don't drink it. Oh, with our pinkies in the air. Okay. That's what we love our wine. We just don't drink it with pinkies in the air. And then say, pinkies down. And notes of raspberry, cherry, chocolate. This is their Pinot Noir. So, yeah, I can barely read this. They have pictures of the cans here, and they have a picture of the back of the can. I got on this magnifying glass here, and it's still very difficult to read. It probably wasn't meant to be read anyway. So, So, wine in a can. We'll have to check out the website on that and see what they have to say there. Millennial drinking. We've brought this up at different times. I'm not going to go through the whole thing about what's going on. I'm just going to read you the overall chart here. Overall, millennial drinking, beer 47% of overall drinking, wine 33% of those interviews said, and spirits are mixed drink, cocktail shots 43%. The age 21 to 24 group, beer, 53% of them drink beer. Mixed drinks are spirits, 52%, and wine stays steady at 33%. But when you get up to the 25 to 34 age group, 58% drink beer, 52% still at wine and spirits, but wine jumps up to 44%, 25 to 34 age group. So the older millennials are a little bit more inclined to drink wine, but overall from this chart, they're inclined to drink everything more. So millennials are drinking more of everything. But I just thought that was interesting that wine is jumping up. The young millennials, not so much as you get older. Oak Infusions. There are a couple of new wines out on the market that I just saw recently in trade journals here. The Diego Chateau and Estate Wine. It's a part of the Diego distributor. It introduced a line of woodwork wines that showcase the influence of oak on each of the varietals. So, available in Cabernet Sauvignon, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir, the wines were aged with oak staves instead of in oak barrels. So again, we've talked about this in the past, about how there's different ways to do oak. You can do barrels, you can do staves, you can do chips, you can do blocks, you can do dust. There's all sorts of different ways to do oak. But this wine is showing you actually what oak staves do. Usually it gives you a little bit stronger flavors, so I don't know. The staves provide robust flavors and have a low impact on the environment due to an increased efficiency and performance compared to traditional wine barrels, which they really do. Also permitted the winemaker to introduce the oak flavors to the wine in a measurable and repeatable way, allowing for experimentation in a variety of blends. 750 bottles are selling for approximately $14.99. So that's, again, the line of wine is called Woodwork, and it's not oak barrels, but oak staves that they're using. A couple other, or another wine here that's new on the market. Also, this is crafted by Concha de Toro, and imported into the United States by Excelsior Wines. The new Casarillo del Diablo Devil's Collection. It targets the younger generation of legal drinking age consumers, according to Concha de Toro.
The collection includes a 2012 red wine and a 2012 white wine. Both are blends. The red wine is a blend of Carmenere, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Syrahs. That sounds good. And it's from Chile's Rapella Valley. And the white wine blends are Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, Gewürztraminer, which is a little odd to throw that Gewürz in there. That should be interesting, though. That's from Chile's Casablanca Valley. Each are sold for approximately $15 for 750 bottles. So look for those out there, too. Those sound like good blends, though. It's the Devil blends, again, appealing to younger drinkers, which, you know, all of us old people already are set in our ways of what we're drinking, so they try to open up to new. Pulling out all the stops, there's an article. This is out of a packaging magazine, the beverage industry, and it's talking about packaging. Quite a complex article. I'm not going to go through the whole thing by any means, but to sum it up, they're talking about the new approaches to packaging now and how there's more and more pet brands. And I just read you some, you know, we talked about a little bit of those new ones out there, the bottle shape and then the cans and all that. And they're talking about the new concept. And basically, and since a lot of this tonight we've been talking about is new containers, they have a new line, I guess you would call it, of wines out that are all in the PET model, or not PET, all in the milk carton type bottles. I don't know what else is gone. They're portion controlled, and they are pouch growth, I guess is what they're, these things are more than anything, they're pouches. And it's a Sauvignon Blanc, a Chardonnay, a Malbec, and a red blend that is available that you're talking about here. But this is just one of many. The article goes on and says that the improvement of liners of these different containers, and this is something that I've read in both, and in fact, of all the things I was talking about, of the new containers, new plastics, and cans and all that, they're talking about the liners, what the materials that they have, they're lining the containers now, and how that has advanced. And that's what has helped it so much in expanding all these different closures. You're not having that wine in contact with anything but the same basic liner. And so you can put it in anything. It makes absolutely no difference at all how you're going to drink your wine if it has a reliable and consistent and environmental friendly, if I may say, container or liner to put it in it, then it does make any difference what type of outer packaging it is. And this article basically was saying the same thing. The rules are changing and when it comes to packaging because of the fact that they're finding a lot of good ways to not affect the flavors at all. You expect a Chardonnay to taste like a Chardonnay. You expect a Riesling to taste like a Riesling. Obviously, you know, their styles and everything different, but you know what I'm saying on this. And the same thing with a Pinot Noir or a Cabernet or whatever else, you want the flavors to taste like the flavors. You don't want an influence from the package. You don't want that taste coming out from the package. And with the great advancements of liners and ways that are not affecting it at all, it's phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal what they're able to do now. And I think, and since we've talked about it a lot on this program, about different closures and different things that are out there, I think we're going to see more. I think it's going to be something that you're going to start seeing a lot more, simply because there's no reason not to. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing changes. Nothing is going to affect the taste. So if you can't find it in a box or in a bottle, then get it in a box or get it in a PET container or get it in a pouch or getting it in a can. And the flavor should be the same in any of those.
because of the advancements on there. So since we've talked about a lot of containers and a lot of new stuff on that and all that, I think that's a good way to end it tonight.
Ah. Yeah, a bunch of things we've talked about in the past, and we're getting more news items and everything that kind of goes alongside that. So there's a lot more. Who knows? A lot more new items coming out, and we'll have to bring them on a show as well. So and let you know about them. It's interesting stuff. I'm just still can't imagine the can part though. It's still hard.
You know, I mean, we talked about this a few months ago, and it's still hard to imagine a canned line. You know, I don't know. I mean, but we were saying that about it in the plastics and stuff like that, and now you're seeing more and more and more of that. And so,
I don't know. I guess best way to do it is, or check it out, is to try one, and you know, maybe it works. I don't know. Okay, let's see. You have Saturday busy time there at Florida State's Winery. I can go ahead and let them know about that. But I guess I'm looking at the newsletter. and let's see. You also have I don't know what weekend that is. Is that next weekend or
next weekend? Is
a week from this Saturday is the Greater West Pasco Kiwanis Club fundraiser at the winery. So you definitely want to stay tuned because we'll tell you more about that. But right now, I'll give you some information on the Wine Fest coming up Saturday, 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. And I'll be right back in about a minute. Hold
coming
on.
Up this Saturday at Florida State's Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@floon.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay, thank you. Come on out and enjoy the weekend. The weather is going to be very good, and we have a cold front coming in. I think it's coming in tomorrow, and so it might be a little bit on the cool side, which means you need to stop by and visit Wine Fest on Saturday and get yourself a doggy sweater for your beloved family member, pet.
I love that segue. That was very good. Yeah.
There you go. It's getting colder. We're in the fall season, soon to be winter for 2 weeks here in Florida. But you know what? It's going to get cold, and you want to protect your, it's doggy sweaters by Susan Marie. And
she ships all over the country, though, so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And there's also email. So you can email doggysweaters@AOL.com, doggysweaters@AOL.com, and she'll email you some information on how to measure your dog. So you can order your dog a hand-crocheted sweater custom fitted to your dog. So, but she will be there. So cool. So email her. Also, let's see. You have Boxer and Christy with the Flame Rock Oil Candles and a whole lot of cool stuff over there. And they also take debit and credit cards, which is cool. You'll also have music provided by Constantine. I haven't heard of that one yet.
Yeah, Constantine is a new one that just. You know, he came by and he said, you know, I'd like to do some of your show, some of your festivals. And he says, okay, Constantine, we'll give you a try. So about a month ago, we gave him a try.
Mm-hmm.
And last week we had the Paul's fundraiser, and Constantine came in and donated his time for the Paul's fundraiser. Big thumbs up to Constantine for that. So he does a very nice job.
What kind of music are you talking about?
Basically the same as we get from everyone else. Just a variety of all sorts of different things and all. So he takes requests and all that. People like him, and he's very, very friendly out there. And his son came by last week while he was playing and got a chance to meet him and his son's wife. And his wife was with him and all. So, Constantine is new with us, and we're happy to have him with us. And again, we thank him for donating last week's time to the Pet Fest, to the Paul's fundraiser.
Yeah, very good. Let's see. What else do I have here? Also, I was just reading through this. Maria, the psychic reader, will be there this Saturday. She is a reader of palms and tarot cards, and she's been doing it for over 25 years. Interesting. So come on out to Winefest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday. Susie's Dog, served by husband Charlie, will be back again with more grilled or steamed hot dogs and grilled-to-order delicious hamburgers and cheeseburgers with or without grilled onions. There'll also be specials on the special board menu, meal combos starting at only $4. Come on out. I mean, it's going to be fantastic. So shopping's always fun. It's a great chance to pick up unique gifts for friends, family members. And don't forget, the holidays are right around the corner, and this is the place to be and do some great shopping. So we'll see you there Saturday. That is November the 8th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Florida State's Winery. And I'll give you more information on that there. Let's see. Last month, the tip jar at the winery was for St. Vincent de Paul Food Pantry of San Antonio. That's in Florida. Thank you much for your donations. Oh, it says last month.
It's not
month.
On there. Yeah, I know. I didn't put it on there.
Okay.
This month. It was last month. That was last month.
That one
but
was
this month.
Okay.
Yeah, this month it is all tips will go to a group called the Compassionate Friends. This was a suggestion from one of our customers. I looked it up. Compassionate Friends originally started in England back in 1968 and it spread to the United States, to Florida, in the early 70s. Now there are chapters all over, basically all over the world, if you will. I mean, there's a bunch of them all over the United States. But the Compassionate Friends is support groups for parents who have lost children at any age. We've all heard the saying, no child should die before their parent does. And, when it does, it is rather devastating. Compassionate Friends it's just a support group. It's one of those where they help people get through those periods. They help people get through the times when their child, be it at birth or, later in life, it makes no difference. So if a child dies before the parent, the Compassionate Friends is there to give you moral support and a shoulder to lean on and cry on and to make it through. So that is our tip for this month.
Very, very good. Okay. So stop by anytime. The Florida State's winery is open, and it's right there next to the counter, and add something to it. Florida State's winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., except major holidays, which just talking to you, I think you only have like two major holidays because you're open every other time. But,
pretty much.
Yeah.
Should close Tuesday. I'm a veteran. I should close Tuesday.
Okay. There you go.
That's a major holiday.
For more information, call 813-996-2113. That's 813-996-2113, or you can email corp at flewn.com, FLEWN.com. And look forward to seeing you Saturday. It's going to be great. Come on down, and don't forget, a week from this Saturday on the 15th, it is the fundraiser for the Greater West Pasco Kiwanis Club. So another great cause, and a lot of things happening down there. Don't forget to bring your donation of pet food for Raffle Rescue, and you'll get a 10% discount on your wine purchase. It's also pet friendly. Pets are welcome. Please bring your vaccinated, friendly leashed pets, and also family friendly. So children, it's a great time out there. So come on down. And I was losing my voice there. Okay, don't forget. Yeah, just come on down. The holiday season's upon us, and we want to see you at the winery. So there's not a wine class anytime soon. I saw that was to be announced, but there'll be one coming up. And also at the Wine Fest, you can get a wine tasting, very entertaining and informative with Ron himself. So let me get the applause. Okay, or the cork. And
thanks.
Where
for
is it?
Yeah.
One of those. Anyway, it's down there somewhere. All right. We'll see you all next Thursday, I believe, which would be the 13th of November, 2014, at 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you'd like to email us, do so. It's allaboutwine101@gmail.com. And I believe that's repeated on here anyway, so I'll go ahead and play this. And I have to redo this because we're not on AFRN at this time. So
I know.
What happened right there. Yeah.
AFRN just sort of...
They
don't know.
Went someplace. Yeah. I don't know.
They went. That's a good term. Yeah.
Some reference that I saw on their website, they do have the website back up, and there's a link to sports, and I don't know if it's back the way it was before, but haven't been contacted. Oh. So we're going to – it's still in here, but I'm going to redo this at some point, hopefully before 2016, and I'll get this. Because I've been saying this for, a few months now.
Yeah,
but,
you have, but –
okay. We'll get this done, but just disregard the AFRN reference. Sorry about that. Okay. We'll see you all next week. Thanks for tuning in, and you all have a great week, and drink lots of wine, responsibly.
See you next week. Thanks a lot for listening.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Bye. This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida State's Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@FLEWN.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.